Hello everyone, it's episode 34 of the General Damage Podcast. And introductions, I'm Nick.
I'm Will.
And I'm Shane.
Yes.
And I'm going to apologize for all you all. I'm in a new recording area. I finally have my workstation set up, so if I sound a little bit echoey or you hear like the clatter of my keyboard, mabi.
And I'll apologize too, because I don't have my good microphone on me, but I'm the editor, so all it's work magic.
Yeah, editors are magicians.
Yeah, they are.
This is episode 34.
Yeah.
Which is cool that we've got the 34 episodes, and it'll be cool when we get the 35 episodes and 40 episodes and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's episode 34 on a Wednesday. On Wednesday, November 9th, I'll date the show.
Yep.
And, the election happened for us yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
For when you guys are listening to this, it'll be Friday or Saturday or something like that. And to let you know of our views, the three of us aren't happy.
Yeah, definitely not the way I wanted or expected it to go. But damn, I definitely made sure I had enough alcohol to kind of numb out for a while. I'll say that.
Yeah, once Florida hit, I kind of like cracked up the Kraken.
Yeah. Dude, I had during work, I had people like, I was like, oh shit, all right, I'm going into work. I'm not going to have to hear about it. I'm not going to deal with it until I get home. And fucking half my coworkers and half the people there playing fucking were on their phones looking at you know, things happening. And in a sense, for how a lot of people felt, the world burning and just going, oh God, this is not where I want to be right now. I have no alcohol. Yeah. I have to be in this kind of swampy ass room right now. I kind of want to deck half the people here. Oh, fuck me and everything.
Yeah. I was like, I was doing everything I could to avoid it, but I kept looking up shit when I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So I threw my phone around. Like, I'm trying not to watch it. I'm like, you know, avoiding TV was hard, so I'm like, okay, I'll watch a recording. And I had Dread, Judge the new movie from 2012.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll watch this. And I watched it, and damn, that was a good movie. Yeah,
very good movie.
And there needs to be a sequel.
Definitely.
But yeah, I tried to zone out by playing Gears, and then after the full results came in, and now he is, I just tried to watch funny videos on YouTube, because I didn't have any alcohol.
So I did the opposite of that, actually. I sat in my living room. I mean, I was playing Guild Wars, but I was really just crafting, so that's not like playing. And I had the ABC live update report thing on, and man, oh man, listening to those election correspondents really hurt, because some of them, on both sides, were just really uneducated people who were trying to ramble off their personal opinions as facts.
Oh,
yeah, that's the thing that's been happening, is facts have now... opinion has just become fact. I mean, that's the whole thing that Trump was running on, was just his opinion of bullshit. And it's you know, supposed fact. You know, forget looking at numbers or charts. Yeah,
Yeah, I basically went a little isolationist. As soon as I got home, I grabbed food, I grabbed the booze I could, a couple glasses, and just sat. And I was like, I'm gonna hear my Facebook, one of my message feeds, just constantly blip. I'm gonna put on music, and I'm going to put on something, and I'm going to zone out, and partway through it, I was like, I'm going to hop on the Division, and I'm going to shoot things to make myself feel a little better. A little bit better.
I hopped on Gears and shot things to feel better. And of course, I'm trying to get every collectible, and I'm almost there.
Nice.
Yeah, I kind of made a mistake with my game of choice, because I was playing an MMO, which has, you know, a server-wide chat and all that.
But
what was really funny was I was in my home city for my race, which is Asura. They're like little goblin things, and they're in the lore. They're like hyper intelligent. And someone goes, "Hey, where's all the political chat? You know, because it's Metrical Province, right?" And one person just without skipping a beat goes, "We're the smart race. We don't need to talk about this." And everyone just jumped on that, and they talked about why it was illogical to talk about the the politics in the MMO, and I thought that was great.
That's cool. That's actually really awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like I first looked at the chat, and I was like, "Ooh, this could be a mistake."
I'm actually glad, because you know, Division is basically a stripped down MMO. I was actually really glad that the chats in you know the multiple areas were pretty low key. There wasn't anybody that was really talking about, you know, what was going on. I think people just wanted to kind of have a good time and enjoy themselves. And I was really thankful for that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how a lot of gamers coped with the election, was just playing games.
Games and a few drinks, man. I mean, some...
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. It's one of those... And this is kind of like, you know, in the end, after kind of everything was said and done, how I felt, you know, there's nothing we can do. This is kind of how it is. We did what we could do. You know, the three of us, we all voted. We did what we could. We voted for who we felt, you know, was the right person. We voted on the props that we wanted, the measures that we wanted passed. We did the best we could. It didn't turn out the way we wanted in some cases, and in other cases, you know, with the measures and the props, some of the ones that I wanted passed. Some of the ones I wanted not passed didn't pass, and vice versa.
Weed's legal, I mean, in both our state and your state, Shane, so got that going for us, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I can't smoke it, but I'm actually willing to try it right now.
Yeah.
You know, actually, it's really funny.
For those of you who don't know, I'm allergic to that stuff, so it's...
I think
still want to try shrooms one day.
I think for a lot of people, one of the biggest things that got passed in Massachusetts was better living conditions for farm animals.
Oh, all right.
Because basically, there was a question. It was like, should animals have holding pens that do not impede their ability to stand and or move?
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah, right. So everyone's like, yes, they shouldn't change that. And you know, it got passed, and like more people celebrating that than the weed thing.
I can imagine. That's kind of a bigger thing for your state, right?
Yeah,
we have a lot of farms out here. People don't think that, but we do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's also the fact that, like, it's interesting, because, like, in a movie, if a guy dies, it's like, okay, that person died, but if a dog gets killed, that's, like, the big moment, and everyone starts crying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Unless it's a zombie dog. But even with like, a zombie dog, they still make that yelp sound, which I think stabs people's hearts.
Yeah. It stabs mine.
But when animals are in trouble, it hurts.
Yeah.
It's you don't want to see it. And I think it's, I don't know what it is exactly with humans and animals, and when, you know, a person will like freak out with an animal death, or when an animal is in distress, over when a human's in distress. I don't know what that. I don't know if that's the cute factor or this weird thought that they're innocent factor.
I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, if an animal is in distress, we're more willing to help it because it can't actually help itself. You know, most animals don't have opposable thumbs or like the strength to kind of like remove themselves from whatever situation they're caught in. Humans. Why help another human when they basically can do everything we do? We're willing to help within reason, but like an animal, we consider animals helpless, and so we'd more likely help an animal than we would our fellow man. And it's kind of fucked up.
It is fucked up, because there's a story, and I'm gonna bring it down. I don't want to bring it down, but I remember this story where there was a domestic. This is like a story that happened in an apartment. I think it happened in the UK, but it's reports that similar happened in the US and other parts of the world, where a spouse, or I don't know, a man and a woman were fighting, arguing, and domestic disturbance, and he was beating her.
Mm-hmm.
No one called the police or anything like that, and in basically the courtyard area, and beat her, and she was crying and screaming, begging for help, and then he killed her. And no one called for help. No one called the police. No one interfered. No one stopped them. It's weird.
Yeah, it really is.
When something like that happens, and it's just and for me, because of other friends, your girlfriend Shane, I like to think she threw this at me a lot. That sounds kind of bad, but it's a good thing. It's if I've been, I guess, in tuned. If I hear certain voices and tones, I try listening to see how bad it is. And there's been a few times where I've like rounded a corner to see if something bad is happening because I'm hearing someone shout and scream. And in the 4 cases that this has happened in recent memory, the majority of the time is it's a woman laughing, and she's got a laugh that's alarming. And it, you know, it, everything's fine, and she brushes it off. And one case, it was a guy
who had an alarming laugh,
who sounded like a woman, in his laugh.
Okay,
but yeah, it's that weird thing. Whereas I've been trying to, hear it more and see it, and you know, call the bullshit.
Yeah,
get involved. You know, that whole thing.
Well, but, actually, this touches
which needs that. We need to happen now more than ever.
Yeah. Well, so like what I was gonna say was, I noticed a lot of my friends are feeling scared and anxious and angry and afraid, right?
Yeah.
And like my thing is like, we need to be there for each other. And the other thing we need to start doing, and I see a lot of people start doing this on at least my Facebook, I read some stories that are happening today, is we need to start standing up against the small injustices. You know, the guy, like we talk about, you probably, anyone who's listening right now who feels this way or has ever heard this conversation before, it's like, you got to stand up against the guy yelling at the poor homeless person, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You got to stand up against the guy who's bousting and yelling at ladies and like catcalling. Like, you have to, if you don't take a stand, it doesn't change. And, you know,
right.
Unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people who are Republican. They've probably voted for Trump. And I'm sure the majority of them aren't, you know, these terrible people. Right. But hidden amongst you, just like hidden amongst the Democrats, there's always assholes. I had this conversation with my stepdad. Yeah. And the thing is, now we need to really stand up against the assholes, and we need to do our best. And the only way to do that is the thing is, we said that people don't, like, interact with another human, right? A part of it is either that they can help themselves. The other part of it, and I remember a documentary on this, is it's our self-preservance, you know, our wanting to protect ourselves, so we don't initially just jump into a dangerous situation, or potentially, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
a dangerous situation is affecting everyone now, so you might as well jump in and at least stand together, because I'm pretty sure, in my heart of hearts, at least in this country, the good outweigh that there's the good outnumber the bad. There's more people who believe in the right moral coding than the wrong.
Yeah. It's also the fact that we really need to basically kick the older generation out the car and take over, to sound a little bit more harshly. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of that thing. I remember to go off another thing, the Target I live by, I see frequently Muslims. I think they're Muslims. It's that I'm not the women. It's what men wear. It's kind of like a really long shirt, and it's very flowy pants, and they have that hat or the cap.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
There was a woman that was kind of mean mugging and whispering and just like, you know, pointing at him, and the dude was pushing a stroller with his daughter in it,
mm-hmm.
who was wearing an Elsa t-shirt.
Cute.
Yeah,
she was cute. You know, she's a cute little 4-year-old. I mean, she's, you know, cool. All right, she likes Elsa. Yeah. I like Elsa. But this white woman was, you know, kind of like in a silent fit giving him shit. And I saw it, and she saw me, and I just kind of like glared at her and just shook my head. And she turned red and, you know, turned around. But it's that kind of shit. Like, you're going to immediately judge a guy because he's dressed in the... I don't know if that's religious. I think that's just a practical desert.
I was gonna say traditional garb.
Yeah, traditional garb. Thank you.
It's the clothing he is comfortable in.
Yeah.
Right. He can walk around. His daughter was in a fucking Elsa t-shirt.
Right.
Not covered up. You know, like you know, what happens in some of the more oppressive countries under Islam, Sharia law, I think that's what the term is.
Yeah.
You know, he's letting her wear an Elsa t-shirt while she's, like, you know, playing in the stroller. He's being a good fucking dad.
Yeah.
Don't mean mug him. That's the thing. Is, yeah, stand up for the women, stand up for the men, stand up for blacks and Mexicans and all that other stuff. That's the thing. Like, yeah, we can be angry and we can shout on social media, which is happening a lot. Like, Twitter freaked out between yesterday and today. It's like 75 million tweets about the election has happened, like, since yesterday, or more, I think, even until now. It's been insane, which is good, you know, and, you know, we need to keep that train rolling, because then again, in 2 years, when the House is up, we need to get the right people in.
Yeah.
And again, in 4 years, we need to get the right person in. So it's like, you know, that train needs to get, you know, rolling. My goal is I want him to be a one-term president, which is sounds kind of spiteful, but...
I think that's where he's going to be at, realistically.
He has to be a two-term... He has to be a one-term president. Yeah. He has to be. Because, like, you know, it's... What's funny is Trevor Noah pointed this out.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is the Trump's, the Trump clan watching the results come in.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And he zoomed in on Trump, Donald himself,
mm-hmm.
and Donald didn't look happy as the results were coming in. And Trevor put it perfectly. That is a man whose bluff has been called. And it's true.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll be happy being president. It'll drag him the fuck out if he does not have a heart attack, because there are things that he will be under everyone's eyes, not just New York and not just the country and not just, like, say, NBC. It'll be everyone. He fucks up London, like the UK, all of Europe, China, all of them will be looking at what he fucks up.
Yeah,
and we will too, and you know that's the thing. But like, we have to start now and keep moving, and we have to. Anger is this really weird thing where it's like looked as negative. It's not. Rage is negative when rage takes over, and this is speaking from someone who lived off of it. It's a bad thing. Rage is a bad thing because rage can be uncontrollable and it can do serious damage. Because all of a sudden you look behind you and you just see this wave of destruction that you caused. But anger can be positive. And if you don't believe me, Gandhi was angry. Martin Luther King was angry. Malcolm X was angry, you know, and they were angry and they pointed out these injustices. And stuff got done. So angry can be positive, but you cannot just, like, yell and scream on social media constantly, because that won't get the word across. You need to act.
Yeah.
And the best way to act is to vote. To vote in everything.
Yeah.
To vote smartly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things
vote too, smartly, though. Read scientific journals, read The New Yorker, read The New York Times, read newspapers, read articles. Don't just get it all from Twitter and Facebook.
And don't feel like your vote doesn't matter. It actually has weight.
I hate that.
No, your vote definitely matters. Yeah. And, like, one thing I want to point out is, like, for people who think it didn't matter, like, hold yourself to a higher caliber, because you live in a country that gives you the right to vote.
Right.
And it is a right you are allowed to act, to exercise without any, you know, limits, and no one's allowed to bar you from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's, like, countries, there's one country that's basically a puppet to Russia. I forget what it is. The current leader of that country, he won his election by 97%. That's not a free country.
It's not at all.
All right? So, like, you know, look at that. I think a good chunk of... There's a secular portion of Republicans that are definitely probably fascists, and they're probably going to try maybe some bullshit. I don't know if Trump is a fascist. I don't think he can spell it. But, like, I don't know, like, yeah, he's got the power now. But I think it'll over-fucking-whelm him. And I don't know what he'll do. I just don't want him to go off.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't want a country or something. This is going to sound really bad. Like, I don't want a 9/11 event to happen, because that'll just give him an excuse.
Yeah.
It'll be tragic. I mean, that's the problem. This tragedy will give him fuel. And I don't want that. We don't want that. You know, his term, his one and only term, hopefully, should just be boring as fuck, and he should just be, like, be frustrated as hell that he can't get anything passed. which probably won't happen because he's got both House and Senate on his side, but still.
Well, that's another thing, too, that people keep forgetting. A lot of major Republicans don't endorse him. A lot of them don't like him.
The big ones definitely do not like him at all.
Yeah. And, you know, even though Republicans are the House and the Senate now, and most likely they're going to get a majority in, in the Supreme Justices, the thing is, things could still grind to a halt.
Yep.
Because
He's
not one of them. That's the thing. He is not a career politician. He is not from he's not from their little club. And so even though he kind of, got into their party, I'm sure there's plenty of them who don't endorse him and are going to sit there and be like, I want you out as quick as possible so we can get another Republican.
He's the first man. He's the first, gender stuff. He's the first person elected president that has never held any other public office.
He
never ran for mayor of New York. He never ran for governor of New York. He never ran for any kind of Senate seat, but yet he went for the top desk, which I think shouldn't be allowed. I think you should at least have some sort of government official office before you ever run for that area, for the president of the United States. I think you should have some government background.
It'd be nice.
It'd be great, but he didn't, and he was voted in, and he run on racism and sexism and everything else. So, it's a shit situation. But we have to take it one day at a time. It's one of those things. It's like everyone's worried that he's going to immediately yank the plug on the Affordable Care Act.
Nah, man.
He will try, and something will happen, and certain things will grind to a halt. But the problem is, if he does that, that'll cause a domino effect that not a whole lot of people will realize or look at, because I guarantee some of the 20 million people that are on the Affordable Care Act and think Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are two separate things, which they're not. When they realize that they don't have that anymore because he pulled the plug on it, and that he doesn't immediately replace it with something else that's, for lack of a word, I don't want to say better, but different, people are going to be mad.
Yeah.
The government's too big of a thing for, switches to be pulled like that. Executive orders are different, but the Affordable Care Act, there's too many moving parts.
Yeah.
And again, if something will jam up, and that means it won't go through, so people who are still on it can continue, and in between all that, you should definitely try to look for something else. Get in your state's Medicaid if you can.
One other thing too about this whole thing, I don't know what our listeners like, and I'm not going to judge anyone.
I need that scotch now, Wilk.
If we have any Republican listeners, I do ask for one thing, because I have a lot of Republicans in my family, and I understand the party pretty well. I'm very well learned on that. If you voted for Trump and you really mean well for this country, it's on them to call out a lot of BS. And I say that because I saw some disturbing pictures earlier where there were KKK members walking around North Carolina in full garb, and people are throwing up swastika nows and stuff, and it's like,
that's so fucking scary.
It's scary, and the thing that gets me though is if I was a Republican, I would be furious that these people are trying to align with a party, especially Nazis, especially neo-Nazis, because they don't stand for any of the Republican ideals. Right?
Yeah, right.
And you know what? We as a country, if they're starting to come out of the woodwork, we as a country should really take the time to snuff them out.
And
you want to know what?
Well, the KKK and even neo-Nazi groups, I think, can be listed as terrorist threats.
They are. I want to see our country act on it. If we have probable cause that these guys are causing problems, right? I mean, if the only thing Trump did was get rid of neo-Nazis, I would be okay with that. If that was the only thing he did.
Right. Yeah.
Because, that's been a problem we've had. A lot of countries ask us, why do we keep the Ku Klux Klan around? How are they allowed to keep going? And they're using... Well,
they're a criminal organization, yeah. And it's also a freedom of speech thing that they fly under.
No, exactly, so... and that's the thing, is they're abusing our political system, and I would love, at least now, because there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of angry Republicans, right? I would love to see the angry Republicans put their time and effort into something that I think really needs to happen in this country.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same.
Because really, these guys are actually ruining their party. They're aligning with them, and they're literally just dragging their names through the mud at this point.
Yeah, I look at Trump as basically the Republicans' Frankenstein monster. And they're gonna regret it. I'm not just speaking like the Congress and all the, you know, all they're gonna regret it. They already regret it, I think. The voters are definitely gonna regret it, because I don't think he'll deliver. I don't think he won't get that wall built. He, you know, all the stuff that he's promising, I don't think a whole lot of it will fly. I mean, all the stuff that Obama tried to do, he did it, but he had the House and Senate. He had a House and Senate that was willing to work with him. That's the difference.
We're not sure. Trump hasn't the House and Senate right now.
Trump has an iffy House and Senate that'll work with him. So it all depends. Like, him and Mitch McConnell are at odds because the term limit thing. So, yeah, I don't know. You don't know what the hell happened. It's gonna be interesting. But the thing is, you just gotta stay informed. And by staying informed, look at both sides. For the love of God, look at both sides. Because if you only look at one side, you're going to think the other side might be Satan.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do. I try to look at both sides, because, looking at both sides is the better thing to do. Instead of just, being an idiot and only, learning about one side, you'll miss opportunities. So, yeah.
And like we said before, we're divided and we need to stand united. That's...
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
I say that as I drink water.
I mean, I think we've given enough time to this, which is appropriate considering this is a major historical, thing for us.
It's a major thing.
This could go down a history book, so.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely will. Jesus.
You know what really sucks? Just thinking of like a time traveling thing.
Uh huh.
God.
A week ago, the Cubs won.
Yep.
At the first time in 108 years, so that means the Cubs are in the same timeline. As that, so it makes me think, maybe if we go back in time and stop the Cubs from winning, Trump won't get elected.
I actually saw someone do a butterfly effect on that.
Yeah, like, I'm happy for you, Chicago, but you fucked us up. I'm kidding. But still, that's what it feels like, right?
It feels real weird, man. It feels not good. It feels not good.
But
great Scott, this is heavy.
You wonder what happened before the whole election thing was this thing called BlizzCon.
Yeah, BlizzCon.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on. Let's move on to games.
Let's move on to good stuff. Good, fun.
Let's move
awesome
on to good
stuff.
Well, let's keep this rolling because even through Trump's presidency, we're going to keep doing general damage.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, come on. We can't. We promised ourselves we won't be political 24/7.
Nah, this is the one moment where we're diving into it because it's necessary.
Well, how can we not be political?
Well, no.
You know, at this point, like, it only happened for us 24 hours ago.
Well, yeah. So. Will be that one kind of big time where, bringing, talking about it in our podcast, where it's important.
Yeah.
It's an important time to talk about it. But,
yes, it
but
is.
We're past that.
We're past that, but Will, yes, I just saw your message, and I am very pleased with that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, you want?
It's very good.
Here's something. Ready? Want to talk about letdowns for a second?
Yeah.
Let's talk about bringing Diablo 1 to Diablo 3.
Man.
Okay, you really call that a letdown? Yeah, and we're done with the election. We're on to this.
I would. I wouldn't. It's a letdown in the sense that it's not very exciting.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
it could have been something cooler.
It could have been cool, but like.
I think a lot of people are expecting D4.
Right, and that was the thing. Like, we had talked about that. Like, Diablo 4 would have been great news to hear, But to find out that you're getting a Diablo like Diablo 1 like dungeon in your Diablo 4 or Diablo 3 game, kind of want more from that. Like, it's cool. True. Like, great. That's
you're getting it for free.
You're getting it for free. That's the best part about it. Yeah.
Like, coming up for free is great if you have the DLC, by the way. Remember, you have to have Reaper of Souls. But, like, what I would have liked is, okay, how about, like, a mini campaign? Like, or maybe,
something
like,
with a little more depth to it?
Yeah, because, like, it's a 14-layer dungeon where you fight all original four Diablo bosses.
You fight three different
bosses.
And
on top of it, they make you go through a shitty retrograde filter.
Really?
Which is, yeah. And I'm like,
that's part of the deal.
And that's dumb. And I'm like, that's not using Diablo 3 to its advantages. That's like,
Did you also hear the movement? About the movement?
What? Oh yeah, that's right. It can only go in like one of eight directions.
Like
the original Diablo.
It's the original Diablo. It's the movement is only one of eight directions. Which is gonna piss off new gamers.
It's not gonna be playable.
What?
Yeah.
Why not just take the fucking system that you have built and just apply it?
Why not remaster Diablo 1 and just make all of Diablo 1 and Diablo 3 with Diablo 3 graphics and controls?
Sure.
Why not just do that?
Oh yeah, my god, I would have lost my shit if they said they were releasing Diablo 1 remastered.
Shane, I have a better, like, what if instead of them just doing this kind of very boring, blasé, kind of garbage thing, what if the developers said, alright, we're doing a remaster of Diablo 1, but fully in Diablo 3, your character is brought, ripped through a portal, and has to, like, go, like, side by side that the character went through, like, Diablo 1, you're kind of following suit.
I would totally play that storyline.
Sure, because that sounds interesting, and looks good, and sounds cool. But no, let's take a dump on this wooden plank, kind of smear it around and hand it to the players and going, but this is what you wanted, right? Right? Shit platter? Shit plate? This is what you guys like, right? Right? Look, it's in brown filter. Shit platter?
Yeah. You know, it would have been better if it was another expansion.
Right.
I'm not saying like Diablo 1 is another expansion.
Sure.
I'm just saying, like, okay, we have Reaper Souls, so why not
Why not something else?
Why not, like, another thing after Reaper Souls? Yeah. You know, and to go with the whole Diablo 1 thing, why not call it Something of Time?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, dude.
And we go back in time for a segment.
You could do so much more, and they decided not to.
There's actually one thing in the story people are always pissed off about.
Mm.
It's that the girl in the beginning, Lena, that she died, right?
Yeah.
And you got no closure on that?
Right. She just kind of becomes Diablo and that's it.
Yeah. You want to have been really cool if you got a campaign, right, that kind of merged some of the, like, time stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you also got one where instead of going to hell, maybe you went to purgatory. Or, like, you know, maybe you went to, like, maybe you went around the world or something to find her soul.
Sure. Like, basically to save her soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
It's something that would be a good art. Yeah. There was so much more they could have done. And unfortunately, that's the bright, shiny turd they thought people wanted. And that's kind of sucks.
It does suck. It really does. But at the same time, if you have Reaper Souls, which from what I've heard is really good, you're going to get it for free, and you don't have to play it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can play all of Diablo 3 and Reaper Souls as something you really like. Well, which is their new class, which is the Necromancer.
Oh my god.
The Necromancer.
That was the best news I had heard for Diablo 3, is the fucking Necro is back. And it is the Necro from Diablo 2. And I am the most happy man I could be. This is a good reason for me to pick up the fucking game. You know, like, I played through D1, or Diablo 3. I played Diablo 1, Diablo 2, Diablo 3. Played through those. Diablo 3 was kind of boring for me at points. Like, it just felt like a reskin of Diablo 2. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit of a a jab at the game, because it is a good game, But it just, it didn't do anything that made me go, oh my god, this is so great. I can't wait to replay it. And then early on, when you got to like the hardest difficulty, the fact that certain classes actually couldn't get through those difficulties was really upsetting. Like, that was just, felt like you didn't balance it at all.
Yeah, that's bad balance.
Yeah.
If you know, every class should be able to make it to the end of the game.
Yeah.
Regardless of what their output is.
Regardless like, of that, the difficulty.
And the other thing, too, is, like, the big problem that people had with the early part of it was, like, the difficulty scaling was basically a fucking, like, super hard fall-off.
Yeah.
It was, like,
it was
near impossible.
Awful. Yeah. You know, I played solo Witch Doctor, and that class is nigh unplayable in the hardest difficulty. I couldn't get through the first act. That's how bad it was. I ran into two bosses, and it became a nightmare. And I was just
bad.
Like, this just fucking sucks dick. And so I was just, you know, you could have done so much there. But, you know, I stopped playing there, and Reaper Souls came out, and like, that's cool, I don't want to play it, though, I'm kind of mad at the game. Hearing that the Necro is coming back, my favorite class from the Diablo franchise, makes me want to pick up Reaper of Souls, makes me want to play, you know, I'm probably going to, you know, looking at picking it up now, not playing it until the Necro comes out, picking up the Necro, and playing the game from the beginning. And having a good time, because I like, that looks fun, that looks awesome. So like, between the two bits of news for Diablo 3, hearing that we're getting an old class back makes me think maybe there's possibilities for either some of the older classes to come back or some new classes to be made. Yeah. You know, or you Diablo 4, I don't know, wink wink.
Yeah,
Diablo 4.
What I find interesting is well, one, I thought there was more classes than the six that they have.
No, it's small.
Yeah, but now they have seven, so it's kind of whatever. What I find interesting, though, is a lot of people, like you, Will, are expressing like anger towards Diablo. They didn't like Diablo 3.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, it has kind of, in this really weird, stealthy way, I don't know where the fuck this came from, it's become one of the top 10 best-selling games of all time.
I can tell you where that happened.
It's like sold like 30 or 40 million copies. It's insane.
Reaper of Souls.
You think it's just Reaper of Souls?
Reaper of Souls did way more to make that game more fun and more enjoyable for its consumer. It apparently has a great story. You know, it fixed a lot of the imbalanced issues that kind of were in the early portion of that game. I honestly think that DLC really made people look at the game again and go, oh, this game's awesome. So, you know, like it's just kind of one of those things where if you just do one thing great, you know, it can reinvigorate a community. You know, I'm playing Division again, and we finally got an announcement that Survival is coming in, which is the second expansion that was, you know, has been delayed. And it's supposed to be like a 25-man horde mode, which sounds fucking sweet, and they're adding some new stuff. So, you know, there are ways that you can just reinvigorate a game by doing one or two really smart things to have your player base, who may have fallen off, to go, awesome, sweet, I'd love to touch this game again. And you know, this will probably do it for me.
Yeah, did you hear that, like, this happened a while ago, but Blizzard put out an update for Diablo 2 so you can play it on Windows 10.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, that's very nice of them. Awesome. Like, well, how old's that game? 10, 15 years old?
Oh, yeah.
I feel longer than that, but, you know, who knows? I'm gonna search, so sorry about the clicking.
So, really quick, as someone who's played Reaper of Souls, right?
Mm-hmm.
My thing with it was, because I didn't play Diablo 3 when it came out right away.
Yeah.
I played through it all in one go, and I felt like, without Reaper of Souls, the story of Diablo 3 would have been really incomplete.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that, more or less, Reaper of Souls should have just been part of the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it adds a fourth act, and that's really important, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
the
three-act
script is nice, but like, the fourth act actually kind of pushes it a little bit more.
That's why Lord of Destruction was such a good DLC or a good expansion for Diablo 2.
Yeah. And the other thing too is though is them releasing Necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this proves a thing about Blizzard, which is like they can add more classes to the game. They yeah. might just want to go and add a few more. Wink, really wink, should. Nudge, nudge, because yeah. like, you know, Barbarian's cool, Witch Doctor's nice, Mage is nice, Crusader's cool, mm-hmm. Demon Hunter's cool, right? Necromancer's yeah. gonna be great, but the thing is, like, you know, there are more RPG classes than the ones they've just given.
Yeah.
And I know it would take some time to design them, but, like, if you guys can, you know, update Overwatch, you should be able to update Diablo 3, especially since Diablo 3, one of the big things about it is the seasons, right? The competitive mm-hmm. seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
My buddy Derek is super excited to be playing the new competitive season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he's super stoked that Necromancer's coming out, right? Because from this point on, when they do more competitive seasons, Necromancer builds are going to probably, like, affect how that's going to play out, right? It's mm-hmm. and especially since, like, you know, one of the big reasons why people do the competitive seasons is that it's, you know, nationwide server challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those bragging rights mean a lot to Blizzard players. I mean, it's been effective for yeah. a while. And once they find a way to implement it to Overwatch, it's going to mean something there, too.
yeah.
But you know, it's like they have the resources, and they've proven they can do it. Just keep going, Blizzard. I believe in you.
Yeah, please bring back Druid and Assassin. You want to bring back two classes that I'd love to see again? Those two.
Give me the Assassin class, and I'll yeah. never stop playing that game.
Found out when Diablo 2 was released. I'm honestly, like, this was a surprise. 2000. This game is 16... Diablo 1 is... Or Diablo 2 is 16 years old.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
It is still by far one of the... A, the most... The games I put the most hours in. And B, one of the games I loved the most as a kid.
Dude, Diablo 2 yeah. can have a driver's license now. Or a driver's permit.
It can. It can. And it would drive me insane. Sorry. Oh, God.
Think about this. Kids that are born in 2000 are driving now.
They are, I know. Listen, I'm looking at my younger sibling.
yeah, and also, like, you know, my friend's kid is 8 years old. She was born in 08, so, like, you know, time's is a fickle thing.
Oh, yeah, it is. You know what's funny, though? Kids in 2000 started driving. I still don't have a license.
Shane... You need to fix that.
I'm getting a permit next week. Don't worry about it. I filled out.
You're back home. You have no excuse.
No, there are no excuses. Yeah. Like we're making time for it. I'm gonna do it. Don't worry. It's not like California where I could dodge it forever.
Motherfucker.
Hey, in my real defense, I prioritize schoolwork before a lot of things.
I mean, listen, that's fair. I get it. I understand it. Sometimes you just need to get from point A to point B, and you need your.
Oh yeah, vehicle. But now I'm a 25-year-old man without a license. I'm kind of pathetic.
Well, it's like what was the guy from Rooster Teeth, Gavin?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Gavin still
doesn't drive. The dude's almost 30.
Oh yeah, he can't drive, yeah. which is,
yeah,
you know, kind of a fear. Anyways, moving on though, since we did bring up one of my games, Overwatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Sombra. Yeah. Holy shit! As soon as I saw that video out, I posted that thing as immediately. Well, try to get that out there for us.
So Sombra is literally, like. A great stealth character that they've... This is, like, a great testing for more stealth characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for people who don't know Sombra, she is a hacker character. She's actually one of the new bad guys, quote-unquote, introduced yeah. to the game. And, you know, the things she can do is that she is a stealth-based utility character. She has a...
What's the classes again? I know there's offensive, which is basically Reaper, Widowmaker,
it's,
Tracer.
It's offense, defense, support, and builder.
And support are healers, correct?
Yes.
So where does Sombra fit?
She might be a builder class, I think. Because
of her hack effect?
I didn't get that.
Yes, hack.
I didn't get that from the vibe.
The thing is, supports, she could be a support because Symmetra's a support, but Symmetra doesn't heal. She just gives people shields. And she also provides a lot of utility.
From my understanding...
So is Mei, right? I mean,
Mei is a builder.
Mei is a builder, yeah. She creates walls and shit.
That's a, I need to look at the thing.
I can see Sombra as a support, but she's not a healer because she has a hack ability.
Yeah.
Which apparently she uses on... Yeah, so her...
It could disable an ult, right? From what I've heard.
Yeah, so let me explain. This is really cool. She has her hack ability, which is her main piece of her kit. She can hack enemy players, and what that means is they can't use abilities. They can still attack, but they cannot use, you know, any skills. And also, if they're ulting, she can deactivate their ult.
Which is sick.
But here's the thing, that's not the obnoxious part. What makes Sombra really dangerous is that she can hack health packs. And not just that, when she hacks them, the enemy team can't use them for a minute.
A minute is
fucking forever in that game.
Yeah, it's an eternity.
And then on top of it, it has like an increased 200% healing rate or something for her teammates.
Damn.
That is terrifying. Another cool part of Sombra's kit, she can go invisible. I'm not sure how good that invisibility is going to be.
Well, it's not good enough for invisibility. I think it's like, you know, Overwatch is a twitchy game. Yeah. You're not really going to be looking for that little Sombra-shaped wave as you're running around trying to avoid
fire. Oh, no.
You know,
see, this is my fear with Sombra. Splash damage is going to become popular because when she goes invisible, everyone's going to be like, well, fuck, I need to hit it. And that's obnoxious. Actually, her ultimate is an EMP wave, which just, like, everything around her gets canceled out.
Interesting.
That's okay, I guess.
Well, so it's basically like her hack, but her hack... the thing is, the hack is more utility-based. The EMP wave is, like, really useful in team fights, especially when people are comboing. She can basically disable combos. The other thing she can do is she can turn off Reinhardt's shield.
Which is really powerful.
Yes. Now,
That would be very powerful in payload.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people are like, well, she's kind of broken. Not so much. Sombra only has 200 health. And
she's squishy.
Oh, man, you kidding me? She will die to two hits from Reinhardt's hammer. And she can't turn off melee attacks, so it's like, you know. And on top of it, even though she has an assault pistol, for what it looks like, she does not do enough damage. Mm. And I don't think she has Tracer's reload speed.
Gotcha.
And, you know, Tracer can do fucking high amounts of damage even though she only has, like, 40 clips in the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's an interesting character. I've seen some gameplay with her. And, oh my god, is it cool. Mostly because she's the perfect character to forget about in teamfights. Like, if she hits the fan and she goes invisible and she positions herself right, she can literally turn the tide of certain interactions. Now, on the flip side, if she tries to lone wolf it, she's not very good at that.
Oh,
and she will get destroyed.
You don't lone wolf with a character like that. What's interesting is, like, players, like, they'll probably call foul and say she's overpowered or something like that, but for a while people thought Bastion was overpowered, but everyone learned how to counter Bastion, so I leave it to players to test out how to best combat.
Sombra. I forgot. She can do one other thing that's really obnoxious.
Mm.
She can hack Torbjorn turrets, and if I'm correct, she can probably hack Symmetra turrets and the teleporter.
Oh, nice.
Whew.
And basically, when she hacks them, she just turns them off. Turning off.
Well, it's better than turning them against their owners.
Yeah, turning off a Torbjorn turret, though, basically makes him useless.
Oh, the trolling days.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's the Overwatch news, and it's exciting, in my opinion. A new character is always fun. I mean, people also had a lot of conjecture about Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, oh man, Anna's ult is so broken, and, you know.
The healing sniper?
Yeah. I mean, granted, if the character's broken, they'll balance it out, and you never know. I mean, my friend Adam, him and I had a bit of a discussion because he's like, you know, Reinhardt's broken, was basically what he was saying. And I said, well, what's your proof? And he goes, well, what's his pick rate, Shane, in ranked games? And it's 100%. There's a Reinhardt in every game.
Mm.
And I was like, fair enough. You know, if the consistency is too high, I wouldn't call that overpowered, but I would say, you know, we see this a lot in Magic the Gathering. When something becomes too consistent for winning, it is a problem that needs to be rectified some way.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't sound like he needs to be nerfed. It just sounds like, you know, he's designed what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, in my opinion, specifically when it comes to Reinhardt, because I play a lot of Reinhardt, I don't think he's overpowered. I just think that there are certain characters who are supposed to deal with him that can do it, but there's not enough of them to pick from. Like, Reaper destroys Reinhardt. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's not true. It's like, no. Reinhardt moves really slow when his shield is up, and if Reaper gets behind him, he will die.
He's dead.
Yeah.
I've watched games like that.
And, you know, splash damage is Reinhardt's also other greatest weakness. Junkrats can hit behind the shield if they bounce it right. Like, you know, he has flaws. It's just there's not enough characters to exploit those flaws, and that's the whole point of the game. Maybe Sombra will be the counter to Reinhardt that we're looking for. She could turn off the fucking shield. That is insanely good.
Yeah. Just a question, a random question. Who voices Reaper? Is it Steve Bloom?
It is not, I don't think. Let me look it up.
Okay, because I was watching the short they put out, Infiltration.
Yeah.
He sounded like Steve Bloom.
He might.
The way he said Sombra's name when she was basically teasing him with the door. It sounded like Steve Bloom.
No, he's voiced by Keith Ferguson.
Okay, I don't know who that is. But yeah. You know what's interesting is I would really like to play Overwatch, but I don't want to play it on my Xbox. I'd rather play it on a PC. I just need a better PC. My thing is, though, with Overwatch, is why I'm a fan of it, is I'm a fan of these shorts they keep putting out, and I really like more shorts because I kind of want to know what the whole deal was at the end of the Infiltration video with that woman who's like the most powerful woman in Russia talking to what's her name? Zara? I forget her name. The characters that's in that you can play as the Russian
Zyra.
Zyra. Yeah. I want to know the relationships and the lore more, because it's some compelling shit.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this much. I know what happened to that one pilot. Reaper murdered him.
Well, that I figure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, so this is the first time we've ever seen Russia as a place in the story. And, like, all we know about Russia is that Volskaya Industries is the largest mech producer in the world. And also the Russians were deeply hurt by the Omnic uprising, and they're very afraid of another one happening.
Okay. Well, that I got from the thing.
Yeah.
That is probably the most colorful Russia I've ever seen in a fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. You
know, I mean, Russia's colorful. Always depicted as pretty dour. That's a very colorful Russia.
Also, one other cool thing from BlizzCon that has, like, the voice actor for Lucio went around and he made a video of him voicing with the other voice actors.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so, like, for instance, it starts off and he's like, hey, I'm at BlizzCon, guys, and then the girl who voices me bumps into him and goes, sorry. And then, like, he walks up to all of them, and, like, the best one is the guy who's McCree. He goes, hey, McCree, what time is it? And he's just like, I'm not falling for it again, Lucio. And then the guy who plays Torbjorn comes up and goes, it's high noon.
That's awesome.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, I have to look this video up.
Yeah, also, I think one of my favorite voice actors is Crispin Freeman, who... If anyone, Crispin he voiced Alucard in Helsing.
Mm. Okay, I know who you're talking about. And he voices Winston, right?
Yes, and it's always great to see him voice a character because, I mean, he's definitely gotten older since his, anime days.
Right.
His early anime days. But, like, to see him voice act a character is great because he definitely does a lot of face acting, like, you know, facial expressions.
Right.
And so it was really cool. And then one other thing was it had the voice of Soldier 76. That guy was there. And him and Winston and the voice of Reinhardt were all doing like this little bit in the middle of the video.
That's cool. Yeah, I have to watch this video. It's some games I want to get into and I just don't have the rig for it. Though I could play both of them on a console, but I don't want to.
I mean, it'd be more fun. Like, to play it on PC, especially since the other thing is with Overwatch, if you want to have like a really action-packed experience, you want to play on mouse and keyboard because it's so much twitchier.
Oh yeah, it's very twitchy. Thank you, Will, for sending the video. I'll look at that later.
No problem.
Yeah. Do you guys want to transfer away from BlizzCon?
Yeah.
Or we still want to talk about BlizzCon? Did we all say what we want to say about BlizzCon?
I think so. I think that covered like a lot of the stuff that was important to us. Yeah.
Stuff that I want to play. And if BlizzCon next, if 2017 BlizzCon can do one thing for me, it's Warcraft 3 Remastered, please.
Listen, you're remastering one of your other games. Come the fuck on. You can
right?
do it.
Fuck on. Like you remaster Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
But as for that, who knows? Like, you know, we keep saying it, like Dawn of War 3, and Dawn of War 3 happens, so who knows? Man. I have more faith in Blizzard to do that than I have Valve to make any third game in any one of their IPs.
I would agree.
Yeah. But anyway, so on to movies. We all saw Doctor Strange, correct?
Yeah, dude.
I know you and I will. We saw
it. Yeah, man. That was great.
Yeah.
I took my little brother to see it.
Oh, Ashley didn't want to see it?
She did not want to see it. And by the way, spoilers ahead. For anyone who sees the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We're going to be doing spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers, and just so that people are wary, even if, like, we do or don't reveal stuff, better for people to be ready.
Well, yeah. So Ashley didn't want to see it because the director, instead of owning up to the fact that Marvel wanted to make sure this movie showed to China to make money, he basically came up with BS excuses on why he hired Tilda Swilden to be the Ancient One. And while I think she did a great job, the director himself was just full of shit, and Ashley didn't want to support that. So,
I mean, okay, that's fair.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't blame her because, like, it's for people who don't know, it's basically like this: Tibet and China don't have great relationships. The Ancient One is a Tibetan master, who, you know, he's an ancient old guy. Well, he hired Tilda Swinton to play him because he didn't want, like, to China not to see the movie, basically. But
yeah, well, I mean, China lets in, what, 40 movies a year, and there's 1.5 billion people? That's a big market.
Exactly. But, you know, so, just own up to it. It makes people happy.
Yeah, it is bullshit. I don't like whitewashing, yeah. But at the same time, I like Tilda Swinton. I think she's a great actress.
Yes.
His bullshit aside, she's a great actress. And she also has a very unique look. She's very sharp looking, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, by the way.
It's her eyes and her whole structure of her face. It's sharp, and that kind of fits with this weird mystique that she has.
There's one other part to
Jesus. As that character.
He later
apart from BS.
Oh, no, there's another part to it, which kind of struck a chord with me, which was he said that he was being progressive by hiring a white lady instead of an Asian lady because he wanted to veer away from the dragon lady stereotype. And a lot of people were like, you could have had an Asian actress and just not made her a dragon lady because you were controlling the writing. That was the other thing he said. And I was just kind of like, you know, man, your publicist must really love you.
Oh, dude. What a
just
nightmare
open your
that
mouth
must have been.
And gold comes out. But anyways, Doctor Strange, oh my god, one of my favorite heroes. So cool.
So good.
He's not a favorite. I don't know much about Doctor Strange, but at the same time, this was a pretty good movie. It was definitely an origin story, and it was definitely formulaic, but, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it when it comes to Marvel. Like, why not? Right. And no one has ever publicly seen Doctor Strange, so this fit the formula. It was a pretty damn good one. I think that Amy Adams played the love interest. Yeah, Amy Adams. She felt kind of underused.
The sad thing is I liked her character.
Yeah, I really liked her character too, and I would have liked more.
Her character was underused, but I'm happy that her character wasn't made a damsel in distress.
Oh my god,
because
thank
that would have
Christ.
Undermined how important that character is.
I thought for a second that the bad guy was going, he's gonna take her, she's gonna walk through the portal, and he's gonna kidnap her, and it's gonna be this dramatic thing on some skyscraper or whatever, and yeah, no, he, you know, she had good parts, but it was just she wasn't used well enough, I think.
Yes,
agreed. And she had great reactions, especially when, again, spoilers ahead, when Strange is in his astral form and he's fighting that bad guy in the astral form,
so good.
And things are breaking around her. And yeah, that was it. That was a really good fight.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that Strange was like, "I don't want to kill," and he, you know, unfortunately, he did kill one person.
That's what makes him one of my favorite heroes, though.
What, that he doesn't kill?
Well, because he's a doctor, and you know, throughout the entire movie, he's like, "I'm a doctor," and he. And the thing what people don't get is it's he's not just a doctor out of ego, even though that's it boosts his ego. It's his purpose in life. Like it was a core thing of who Stephen Strange was. And so for him to break the Hippocratic Oath, you know,
how much it affects him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it really affected him a lot, just in that one scene. So I thought that was cool. And that's going to be interesting when shit hits the fan with the Infinity Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and I really want to see him interact with Robert Danny Stark.
Yeah.
You know, because that's going to be an interesting. Those two characters, they're similar, but.
Well, what I summed it up to my brother was that.
What?
Stephen Strange, before his accident, was the Tony Stark of medicine.
Yeah.
But after he becomes Doctor Strange, he's a little bit more humble. And the thing is, he finds a greater sense of purpose versus what happens to Tony Stark reinforces his idea about. It's they both started out similar and then they went two different paths.
Mm hmm.
When given, you know, the tools to make a difference.
Yeah, and I do love that, you know, it's, you know, two very similar, you know, similar actors who kind of have a strong camera presence, and that they are playing such opposites. I will love to see how well they like interact together. It'll be great. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be really cool. The thing I like is. This was a really good origin story, and it was a really good movie. It gave me a headache.
Yeah, there's some scenes.
All those trippy sequences.
Yeah. But I'm. It's one of those things where I'm like, I'm really looking forward to a Doctor Strange 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was good, but I'm really looking forward to that second movie, whether it comes in Phase 4 or whatever, because, to me, that'll be a good adventure.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get one until after Infinity War Part 1, and maybe it'll squeeze in that Doctor Strange in there between 2018 and 2019.
Yeah.
I doubt it. But yeah, this was for me a surprise, because I was kind of like, I don't know. But it was definitely a good origin story. But it did give me a headache because those trippy scenes and different dimensions and the city morphing around people, like, oh man, my mom would throw
up. When it was further away, like the city scene mostly was further away, it was definitely more tolerable. But as soon as it got into all like the in-depth, intricate weaving in and out of like streets and city and building and all that jammed together, like
the rotoscoping.
Oh my god, that's where it got like pretty crazy.
That's where it got a little too much. Yeah,
you want to know as like I was really excited when I first saw the first trailer where all the buildings started shifting around.
Right, that seems very cool.
And because, like, for me, the magic in Doctor Strange, they obviously adjusted it from what it was in the comic. Like, it's not just magic. It's a little bit more based in, you know, the way people have been interpreting magic now in movies, which is, like, there's a thought process behind it. Like, the Ancient One says in the beginning, it's like programming, almost.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I love the way that, how minute it could be. Like, you know, the very simple stuff. And then on a grand scale, how magnificent it can be, and to see both, and to see like to see Doctor Strange go through the different layers of skills, like for instance, like when he brings them into the mirror dimension, for the first time, because you know, like he was like, haha, mirror dimension, you guys can't leave, right? And it was just such a cool, like just the crack. like the way the crack just forms and then how everything shifts and then you get all the weird reflecting and reflecting.
Yeah.
It was so cool to watch that, and I was like giddy in my seat because I was like, oh man, you know, like this is like people do magic and people do like shifting dimensions, but they don't do it like this.
Yeah. I thought that was all really good. If I have a criticism about it, this is my criticism with a lot of Marvel movies. It's not like Amy Adams misused. My criticism with this, like, every Marvel movie that's been around is the bad guy was just kind of eh. You know, the most compelling bad guy that they've had was probably Loki.
Yeah.
Yes.
But every other bad guy since then has just been kind of like, eh, whatever. You know, like, Obadiah Strange from the first Iron Man, he wasn't all that fantastic. Whiplash was just a joke.
Yeah, Whiplash could have been better.
Whiplash.
Yeah, Loki. Whiplash should have been better. Loki in the first Thor was okay. In Avengers,
he was great.
He was great. He's charismatic, he laughs. I don't know if that's Tom Hiddleston or what, but like ever since, it's just the villains have been really lackluster. And I really want Thanos to be
amazing.
I want him to be compelling. You know, yeah. He doesn't need to be amazing, but it's this thing where, like, he's a bad guy. I don't think he can be charming, but he's got to be epic.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing. He's got to, you know, they're afraid. All the Avengers are afraid. We have to be afraid, and we have to see Thanos as this like unbelievable presence. But yeah, that's the problem: is that their bad guys fall short. This guy, I mean, great actor. I like the actor, but you know, what's his motivation? Oh, he wants everyone to be immortal.
Well, yeah.
So, okay. The thing that really got me was like, I knew he wasn't really the big bad guy. Like, it was really Dormammu.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even that was a lackluster. Oh, yeah,
and that's where I feel like Dormammu's influence in the movie wasn't as justified or as important as it should have been.
Right.
Because basically Dormammu is like, he, especially in the Doctor Strange like comic books and stuff, he is like the number one threat for the mystics, the sorcerers. Like, he is like public enemy number one, and like
it's didn't show.
Yeah, it just didn't feel like it. Yeah. Now, granted, the visual effects they used to represent him, that was kick ass. Like, I was like,
yeah,
oh,
it was,
man,
pretty great.
Like, to see him in that scale, like, oh, this was awesome. But I didn't feel, but there was no build up to make that scene pop.
Right. Yeah,
and that was kind of a disappointment.
Definitely.
Strange should have gotten like visions of him or something like that. We should have just been like, you know, like kind of terrorized with him for a little while, and we didn't get that.
Yeah,
which kind of sucks.
Well,
there should have been a build up to him. I mean, like, he was mentioned, and you know, Dormammu's bad. Don't read up on that stuff; it's bad. Like, that's all we got. It would have been nice if when Strange was messing with shit, it affected him, and then he kept having nightmares or something.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
But. It would have been cool, but at the same time, it's just as like, again, like, Marvel needs to fix its villains and their motivation and make them compelling, because Benedict Cumberbatch, great guy, great actor, and I like him as Doctor Strange, but he needs to have an archenemy, I think. They all do. It's just the Red Skull was an interesting villain. I'll give him that.
I mean, and, of the other villains, I liked him a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, so
in Civil War, Civil War is very a very gray kind of thing. Like, there's Hydra, and there's a head of S.H.I.E.L.D. who's basically Hydra, and then there's a Winter Soldier. That's interesting, but it wasn't like, not Civil War, Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. My bad. That was compelling. Same with Civil War, like. The villain was kind of an the villain felt like an afterthought. So
I mean, I don't want to spoil something for you, but no, because like, you're like, he needs an arch nemesis, and well, besides Dormammu, there's a few people on the list Unfortunately, we're not going to see some of them. Like, for instance, Mephisto is one of his...
Mephisto?
Mephisto's basically the devil in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Well, no one's ever confirmed if he is Satan or not, but basically he's like a Deus Ex Machina Satan.
Well, Doctor Who's meant Satan,
yeah. So. And then, of course, there's, you know, Blackheart and Nightmare. And those are, like, characters who could be brought in, but they weren't mentioned in this movie. There's a character in the movie who could, that they hinted at, could be a rival character, but, you know, we're not going to get to that for a while if there isn't until another movie.
Are you talking about the Angry... By the way, if you are seeing it, again, I'm sorry for spoiling it, there are two after-credits scenes.
Yes.
There's one in the middle,
yep.
Which I thought was mm-hmm. great, and there's going to be... There's one right at the end, which you could say might even just start setting up a Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, I hope it does.
Because I don't think that'll... Those events won't even happen and probably till after the whole Infinity.
Well,
thing.
Do you want me to explain who is one arch nemesis in the comics is? It's Mordo.
It's Mordo.
Okay. Mordo. Well, yeah, it's basically Baron Mordo. Is like, you know, his teacher, a mentor, and then he yeah. just turns his back on everything. And of course,
that
I didn't
actor,
tell this. To my little brother, so
yeah, go ahead.
If he's listening, whatever. But like that, he is important to Doctor Strange's story. I'm not sure how they're going to tie him into the rest of the Marvel world that they've created.
Well, regardless of how they tie him in, I think his motivation at the end is really interesting because if he does become a villain or an arch nemesis, arch rival to Strange, because he's it's compelling because he's on this crusade. That what he thinks is right. And he's not like a bad guy, like, oh, I'm plotting my revenge or something like that. This is what he thinks is right. There's too many sorcerers in the world.
Yeah.
I'm trying to correct that balance. That's interesting. If they do it right, he might be too rigid, but I don't know. I do like that actor. That actor's really good. I'm a fan of him. He was fantastic in Serenity. And I'm trying to think of another film.
He was in The Martian as well.
He was great in The Martian. Yeah, he played the director of the Mars Controls. Mm-hmm. Mars Controls.
You know,
he was fantastic.
He and Benedict Cumberbatch had one of my favorite moments in the movie.
Mm. What's that?
It's when, right before Strange is trying to convince him to fight, or more or less, like, basically, you know, there's the big...
They're on the training ground?
Well, what's happening is, like, you know, the shit's already hit the fan. And Stephen Strange's like, I killed someone, I can't do that, right? That's not what I'm about. And then, you know, Mordo's like, no, you have to. Like, it's either us or them. And Strange is like, no, there's always another option. And he's like, no, there's not. And one of my favorite things is Strange says, you lack imagination.
Yeah.
And that's actually not necessarily a catchphrase, but it's something he said to a lot of people. In fact, actually, I think he said it to Spider-Man and possibly Bruce Banner once. Yeah, because that's his thing. He finds unique answers to problems.
Oh. And he found a unique answer to deal with the bad guy by making a bargain with a...
Dormammu.
What's the... Dormammu. Yeah, I keep screwing up the names. So I'm definitely looking forward to a second one. And I'm definitely looking forward to him becoming part of the Avenger clique. It'll be interesting. So... Yeah, I think Benedict, you know, he fits nicely.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
As they all... I don't think there's been a misplaced actor, I felt. I don't know about you guys.
No, I think all the actors they've chosen have been good for the heroes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, early on, when they casted Chris Evans as Captain America, I was kind of worried because I was like, well, we gave you a shot as, like, Johnny Storm.
And that was bad.
Yeah, I was like, that did not bode well. But he did really good as Captain America. Now, funny thing about this is, going into the movie, my friends and I were talking about, like, our favorite Marvel movie, and the consensus was Captain America 2, Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And coming out of that, I don't know about my friends, but I have personally actually, as an origin movie, I kind of put this on the same level as the first Iron Man.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of similar moments.
And so it's like, it's hard for me to call it my favorite Marvel movie, but it's definitely like, I actually think Doctor Strange is tied with Winter Soldier for me now. Just because, like, it was, it met all of my expectations.
Yeah. The top ones for me, and this is, like, no particular order because it's all jumbled, it's Avengers, Civil War, and Winter Soldier. Not in that order. They're very good films, though if I were to pick one of them as being above the other two a little bit, we're talking, like, the margins of, like, 99 and 98, I want to say Civil War, actually. Because Civil War, I thought, did something interesting where it had these huge action set pieces, but the end of the world wasn't at stake. Which I thought was interesting. As a way to tell that story. So.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean,
So, yeah, I'm definitely excited for more Doctor Strange in any movie. So, and again, spoilers, he might be in a Thor movie?
I kind of hope he is.
He might. Me and Will kind of put it together that that means this Doctor Strange takes place after Ragnarok.
Yep. Yes.
That's what we think anyway, because the way Thor was talking.
Well, I mean, I think the way, if I'm correct, what the producers said, or because people were trying to get the Easter eggs, like people thought they were talking about when he's in the car and he's getting like the medical reports. There was a guy who was crushed in power armor.
That was like, a nod at what's his face from Civil War.
Justin. Oh no, it's not Rhodey though.
Oh really?
No, because here's the thing.
He said woman.
Was he a woman?
It was a guy. It was the woman he picked.
Who got hit by lightning?
Look at the operation.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you remember in Captain America: Civil War, on the rooftop. The guy he interrogates, Captain America, the guy's like, yeah, we keep tabs on all you special people, you know, and he lists off a bunch of names, and he listed off Stephen Strange. So the events of this movie have taken place slightly before the Hydra takeover of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It takes place, I want to say, definitely before Thor, because in one of the shots you see the Avengers Tower.
Yes, that's true. You see Stark Towers.
Yeah. It's the Avengers Tower. Like, you see the A. It's after the Battle of New York and everything like that. So, who knows? I mean, like, at the same time, like, Hydra could be spying on Strange because of his brilliance at, you know, the neurosurgeon that he is and everything else, and, you know, he's outspoken, obviously, so Hydra doesn't like that.
Yeah.
That's probably why he was, you know, being looked at.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about his story, too, is, like, he was a high-profile person who just up and disappeared one day.
Right.
One other thing, though, and actually what you're talking about, Nick, is what people think is a nod to another hero is they were talking about the girl he picked was a girl who got hit by lightning and she had a brain implant that was supposed to help deal with a schizophrenia and paranoia or something. And some people are like, could that be the new Captain Marvel?
That'd be interesting because I keep hearing Captain Marvel might meet the Guardians of the Galaxy before she meets anyone on Earth.
That's most likely going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. I saw this really, it was kind of this touching bit from one of the comics, Captain Marvel, where I think she's recording a message to someone, and how she misses people, how she misses Wolverine, and all this other stuff, and she's saying all this, and she's getting kind of, like, upset, and Groot's kind of right behind her, and she says, no one here, gives me a hug, and then Groot just automatically hugs her. At the end, it's a sweet picture. I'll have to send it to you and share it on the page. And I believe, So
I definitely like
Doctor Strange is good.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'll send you it after. The end of it is Doctor Strange was pretty damn good.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
I had high expectations going in, and I was like, oh, it met all of them.
They met. I'm trying to go in with no expectations to movies nowadays. Though I'm jacked for Rogue One.
Yeah, dude, that trailer was fucking great.
It looks great, but I have this feeling that when I walk out of there, I won't feel so good because I think they'll all die.
Don't say that out loud.
Sorry. But yeah, so I think we should call it.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah. Doctor Strange was good. Yeah. Stuff from BlizzCon was interesting. Mm-hmm. Yesterday sucked, the election.
Yeah. Today's a new day.
It is what it is. Today is a new day, and we have to just keep moving forward. Yep.
And with that,
we will continue on.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes, and also, like I asked before, you know, we want to break 100 likes and keep this thing growing. So, you know, if you've liked it, please share it with your friends on Facebook. It would mean a lot to us.
Share it with your friends. Invite them to the page. Invite them to the website. I want to try to do more stuff on the website. So yeah, do all that kind of cool stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're gonna keep going, and yeah, we want this to be something. So help us out
for sure.
All right, we's out.
All right, later, guys.
Lates.
Later days.